Morning. I want to open in a word of prayer first. Our great gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise you for this time we have together, Lord, to worship you, to sing praises to you, and to read your word, and that your word might be preached. And we just pray that you would be honored and glorified in the preaching of your word. So I ask that you would help me this morning. And I just pray that the word would go out among those listening and would be a work among them that would cause them to be more like Christ. Use this word, Lord, for your glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our text this morning is found in 1 John, in the book of 1 John, and we're in chapter 2 right now as we work our way through 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17, and this is in page 185 in your pew Bibles, if you need. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17, John says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." You may be seated. Do not love. This is the command that we're given here this morning. Do not love. I'll just let that sink in for just a moment. It probably makes you almost feel uncomfortable. A command that says, do not love. Now, this text almost seems contradictory to what we've known in our Christian life. To not love. This text almost seems contradictory to John's writings up to this point. And if we keep on reading in 1 John, Lord willing, as we do, we'll see that we are called to love. We'll also see that God is love. And we're also told that if we do not love, we do not know God. The love of the Father is not in us if we do not love. Or how about our beloved text, John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus calls us in the Gospel of Luke to even love our enemies. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus commands us to pray for our enemies. As followers of Christ, we are taught and commanded to love all throughout Scripture. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We are to love our neighbor as ourself. We recently read in 1 John that we're commanded to love our brethren. We are commanded to be great lovers, to be those who love to the extreme. We're commanded to love our enemies. And we don't do this because this is something we've conjured up, this love that we've conjured up within ourselves. And we don't only do it because we see it here in the pages of Scripture, but because of the great working that God has worked within us, and because of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit within us, that work that creates a love for God within us and a love for the things of God. It is through this working in us that we are able to love. But we must return now to our command this morning. And John says, do not love. He says, do not love the world. And now this is a command, beloved. This is not a suggestion. John's not saying it's It's better not to love the world. He's not saying try not to love the world. And he's also not saying that you can have two loves, that you can love the world and God. You can have a little of both. John has a clear understanding that you cannot have two loves. He knows that you cannot serve two masters. So why does John command us not to love? And in particular, he says, do not love the world. We are commanded to love, but now we're commanded not to love. And we know that Scripture does not and cannot contradict itself. So what are we missing here? What is it about the world and the things in the world that we're missing? Well, I think it's important here to break down this sentence a little bit, this first verse that we're looking at. So let's take a look at verse 15. John says, do not love the world nor the things in it, in the world. So what are we not to love and why? Now, this is a command, like I said, and so this demands some serious thought. As a command, if we go against it, we are in sin. So we must take heed this morning to understand this command. First off, do not love the world is what we call a present imperative. If we break this down, that means that this is a command. But it's not just a one-time command, like, come here. This is an ongoing command. This is a continual command, something that we are to continually, habitually follow. This is not something that we do once and we're done, but this is a lifetime. Lifetime turning your eyes upon Jesus, seeking his face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. This is a continual command in our Christian walk. And the love that John is referring to here in this first verse, this love that he's referring to is an agape love, which means that this love is a love of commitment. It's a love of faithfulness. And this is a love that is to be towards God and not towards the world. Our desires, our commitment, our love should be to God because he is the one that gave us that love. And love is not from Satan. Satan hates love. True God-honoring love is from God. But there is indeed a false love out there, a self-honoring love. And we see it out there. It's pervasively in our culture these days. A love that is being pressed on us as true love. Love is love, we're told. How can you possibly be against love? That's what they ask. You must love everyone's love, is what they demand. But this morning, beloved, we see that there is indeed a love that God hates. We see that this morning that there is a love that is not God-honoring, that there is a love that can be sinful. There is something that, this is something that the world around us really needs to hear. The culture needs to hear this, but this morning this is something that we here in this room need to hear. Because John here is writing to believers. He's writing to us. He's not writing to the world. He's writing this to his receiving audience. And as we read this text this morning, we are his receiving audience. Beloved, there is a sin that is, there is a love that is sinful. And this love that is sinful because of three main things. Because it's, first of all, pointed at the wrong object. Second of all, because its source is wrong. And thirdly, because the fruit that results of this love is wrong. But what about when John speaks of the world here? What kind of world is John speaking of? Is he speaking of this first world where he's referring to people? Are we not called to love everyone? As the Imago Dei, as the people made in the image of God? Since Scripture does not contradict itself, we know that this is not the world that John is talking about. We are commanded to love everyone. We're commanded to even love our enemies. Or could John be speaking of the created world, this second world, the world that includes all created things, trees and flowers, a new car, the smell of dirt in the spring or snow, and the sound of spring peepers, the sounds of returning swans or geese, or your home, or your job. Is this what we are not to love? Absolutely not. We are to love and enjoy the things that God has given us. Paul tells Timothy to instruct those who are rich, those who fix their hopes on uncertain riches, to fix their hope on God, who has supplied us with all things to enjoy. God has supplied us with all things to enjoy. The love for this created world, however, can take a dive. And our love for what is good can turn sinful, because a love is pointed at the wrong object. The source of the love is wrong, and the fruit that results is wrong. A wrong love for the natural world quickly turns into worship, a worship of the natural world. The love that was designed to go to God as we love and enjoy his creation ends up going to the creation and not God. And hence creates a worship of the creature and not the creator. We are to love God and enjoy God's creation because it brings him glory. We are free to love the smell of a grilled burger, of a freshly cut tree. We are free to enjoy the splendor of an amazing sunset like we had last night, because this brings God glory when we enjoy his creation, knowing that it comes from his hand, knowing that he has graciously given us everything. And when we give thanks to God for these things, God is glorified. So John's not talking about this world either. There is, however, a third world, and this is what John is referring to here in our text, and that is the world where Satan is prince. This world that John refers to here is the evil organized system under Satan. And Satan operates this world through unbelieving people who are at enmity with God. Scripture says they are at enmity with God. And the system runs purely on ungodly thoughts and actions and attitudes and motives and values and goals. And all of these are ungodly. This is the organized system that Satan runs. And this system is adamantly opposed to giving glory to God. It's violently opposed to Christ, to the humanity of Christ, to the deity of Christ. This system is, we call, an antichrist system. It does not ever seek to give God glory, or does it ever submit to his sovereignty. This world that John refers to is ruled by Satan and his demons. And this world is at war with our king. And John is telling us this morning, do not love this world. And the reason that John gives us for not loving this world is that the love of the Father is not in you, if you do. If you love this world that John is referring to here, this third world, The love of the Father is not in you. And we see John's writing style that we've talked about many times come out again and again here, of this contrasting, this black and white, there's no wiggle room here, style of writing. John is saying that this is an either-or situation. It's not a both-and situation. You can't have both, and you can't have love for God and the world that runs on lusts and pride. Our God is a jealous God. So you will either love God or you will love this world. You cannot have both. Jesus said in Luke 16:13, he said, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Our desires, beloved, cannot be for God and anything else. Our desires and our motives, our attitudes, our values are to be Godward. They are to be directed to God. And the foundation of these things are to be God. And our desires are to be that God is glorified. We cannot do this while loving the world. I've heard, and maybe you have too, I've heard this marriage analogy, and I think it really fits perfectly here this morning. Just think of the role of the husband. The role of the husband is to love his wife. And this love that the husband is to give his wife is a love that's exclusive for his wife. It's a love exclusively set aside for his wife, but the moment that that love is transferred to another, that husband is guilty of sin, of idolatry. And so it is when we think we can share our love with both the world and God. And James builds on this here when he says, "Do you not know, you adulteresses, that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And James is black and white here too. So James and John, they both know that this is just basic Christianity. And we see this in the way that James says, "Do you not know? Like, where have you been? This is the basics. You should know this. This is nothing new." So we've seen John lay out this command not to love the world, and we've read the implication of loving this world. That is, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. But what are these things of the world that John is referring to? He says, "Do not love this world, nor the things in the world." Well, it seems like he sums it up pretty well in verse 16. When he says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." So the love that we are to hate, despise, abhor is a love of lust and greed, a love of boastful pride. These things are the exact opposite of love, where covetousness engulfs all the law. Love, as Paul says in Romans 13, is the fulfillment of the law. These two are completely opposite. And this love comes, the love for this world is not a love that comes from our Heavenly Father. This is a love that comes to us as a false love, as an anti-God love from the evil one, the one that prowls around looking for someone to devour. This is the love that God hates. Now let's look again at verse 16. John lists the three things that we've read: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And I think it's important to look at the third one first, because it will help us to see the other two a little more clearly. The word life here, as we see translated in our laps, sometimes can cause us to think that John is talking about being boastful and prideful in your life, or of your life. But the Greek word that's used here for life is bios. And bios is a word that refers to a person's livelihood. It refers to their goods, their possessions. So John is saying that this is about boastful pride in what you have, in your possessions. So if we look back at the first two lusts, lusts are something that we want, but we don't have. And pride is what we feel when we have it. And this is an evil cycle of this evil organized system of this world that we're referring to. The desire to have or the pride of having. They both result in idolatry. And this, I believe, is why John ends this epistle of 1 John with the words, "Little children, guard yourself from idols. Guard yourself from idolatry." And the things of this world are so pervasive, they're so sneaky, and they're so prevalent that we must be on our guard lest we forget our first love and turn to loving the world. This is why John is giving believers this command, do not love the world. And this is why he's giving us a command that is continual. It's daily, it's moment by moment. Because he knows that even Christians can fall into this love of the world. And we can, can't we? We're not perfect, are we? By no means. These sins of lust, greed, and pride, they're like walking along the shoreline of a lake, a rocky, slippery shoreline. So easy to slip into, and maybe it even looks refreshing to slip into it. Some people slip into this lake and they wallow around for a time, and they climb out and repent and turn from their misdoings. And some dive head first. And then when they resurface, they come up shouting how great of swimmers they are and how they desire to touch the bottom of the lake. The lusts and prides of this world captures them, and they are in love with this world. And John speaks of these people as those who make a confession of faith, those that are within the doors of the church. They confess to be Christians, they live a life that appears to be Christian, but their heart and soul is far from God. The love of the Father is not in them. They live a life that desires the things of this world, and not the things of God. And if we move just a little further down here in our text this morning, 1 John 2:19, John says about these people that they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. Even we who love God and desire the things of God slip and fall sometimes. We can slip and fall into different types of lusts, the desirings of something that we don't have. We can slip and fall into a prideful thinking of what we own, of our job status, of how much money we make, what lake our home is located on, or a myriad of other things that elevates ourselves over others. Remember, John is writing to believers and not the world. So if John is commanding us not to love the world, it means that we can love the world and the things of it. But we must not. John's commanding us that we must not. We must examine our hearts continually to see if there is a love for the world that needs to be rooted out. And we must make it a point to root that out, those sinful worldly ways. And turn your love back to God. In Revelation, John recorded what God had said about the church of Ephesus, that he was pleased with them and what they did. But that the one thing that he had against them was that they lost their first love. And what does God say they must do? He told them to remember where they had fallen and to repent and turn back to their first love. As believers, we must remember where our love comes from. Our love for God, beloved, comes from only God. Only comes from God, doesn't come from within ourselves. God's first love was a love towards us so that we might be capable to love God. And he has graciously shown this love to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And Paul really sums this up nicely. If you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you were made, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is not now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. This is the love that God has for us. Just let those words from Paul just sink in for a second. And then the words of John, let them sink in for a bit, that when he commands, do not love this world or the things in it. Because we've seen how great a love God has for us. Why would we love this evil, antichrist world, when Scripture reveals, oh so plainly, the love that God has for us? Beloved, desire that love for God. Desire to glorify God in all you do, say, and even think. Do not desire to glorify yourself. Do not seek to worship this created world. Love it and enjoy it, but do not worship it. Worship wholeheartedly the creator of this world, the one who gives us all things to enjoy. And that brings me to the last verse here in verse 17. So far, John has given us two implications now for loving the world. Number one, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. This means that our love is aimed in the wrong direction. Number two, this love of the world is not from the Father, which means the source of our love is wrong. And number three, we see in verse 17, this love of the world is passing away. That means the fruit of this love is wrong. If you love God, if your love is toward God, if your love is from God, the fruit of this love will last forever. It will not fade away like the love of the world. What this means is when you love the world, all of your accomplishments that you lived for, all of your gold and silver that you stockpiled and you worked so hard for, all of your possessions that you put your hope in, all of your lusts that became real and transformed into pride, into what you had, all of these good things that you did, which were not really to glorify God, but really just to glorify yourself. All of these things of the evil, organized world that's piloted by Satan will cease to exist. They will be no more. You cannot carry these things past the grave. Jesus said in Matthew, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." But those who love God, the one that does the will of God, will live forever. We will live forever in eternity with God, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, with each other in the presence of God. And those treasures that we stored up in heaven, our heavenly treasures, will be there for us. They will last forever. They will not cease to exist. But Satan is a crafty serpent. Even at this moment right now, he is crafting ideas in our heads. Very similar to the ideas that he crafted within Eve's head when he told her that God was holding something back from her, that there was something that God didn't want her to have, that God was a miserly God, or he was a Scrooge of a God, that he was holding something back from her. And he sold her on this idea that the world had the answer she was looking for. And Satan is crafting ideas in our minds similar to that of Lot's wife. As God was raining down brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, when they were fleeing from the city, Lot's wife looked back on the city and was turned to the pillar of salt. Satan had crafted ideas in her head that the city she was running from, the evil system that was running that city, had something that she wanted. So she looked back, not keeping her eyes fixed on God. She looked back. This is the same evil one that we battle with daily. And we battle with this daily with the means that God has given us. Now Paul commands us, he says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle, beloved, is not flesh and blood, but our struggle is against this world that John is referring to. A world of darkness, of dark forces, of spiritual forces of wickedness. This is our battle, beloved, that only God can keep us from. The means that we use are sword. The word of God is our sword that we use in this battle, and it's a mighty, mighty weapon. It's a mighty weapon that will cause Satan to flee from us. In John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress, the main character in this book is Christian. And Christian is on his way to the celestial city, and this book just represents the life of this Christian until his death. And on the way, he came across a foul fiend whose name was Apollyon. And Apollyon represented the devil. And these two got into a heated battle. And this battle was a battle good Christian was trying to fight with the full armor of God. And Apollyon was fighting this with his powers and his schemes. And I'm just going to read a real brief section of this battle. And the sword that Christian uses is the same sword that we use to this day. Apollyon was fetching his last blow, thereby to make a full end of this good man. Christian nimbly stretched out his hand for his sword and caught it, saying, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise." Micah 7:8. And with that gave him a deadly thrust, which made him give back as one that had received his mortal wound. Christian, perceiving that, made at him again, saying, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Romans 8:37. And with that, Apollyon spread forth his dragon wings and sped away, and sped him away, that Christian for a season saw him no more. James 4:7. The word of God that is what we use to battle against the evil one, day in and day out. And this is why it's so important to have scripture within our hearts, within our minds, to have it at our fingertips, so that when we are battling the evil one, we can deliver that final blow to Satan using the word of God. And how do we overcome this world that John is referring to? Our faith in Jesus Christ is how we overcome this world. In 1 John 5:4, John says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith in Jesus Christ, which is not a faith from ourselves, it's a faith born of God. One that God has born within us. This faith overcomes the world that John is referring to. This evil organized system that is fully against God. Our faith overcomes this evil system. Do not love the world. Continually do not love the world, but continually love God. Continually have your minds set on God, because this is a love that has a proper source. This is a love that is directed properly. And this is a love that bears good fruit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we just pray that you would use it in our lives to battle the evil one. Lord, I pray that our love would be fully for you, and that we would not love the world. Lord, help us to love you. Help our love for you to grow, Lord, as we search your word, as we see, like we read this morning in Ephesians, how you love us. Lord, I pray that that would grow our love for you. And we just pray that you would be blessed and honored in your word. Lord, we pray that you are honored and glorified, Lord, in the preaching your word, and that we would go out this week with a great, extreme love for you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.